Hey everyone, welcome to another edition of podcast. Hello, how are you today? My name is Mitch Corbett, I'm your host, and this week I have a very special guest. Her name is Justine Jeffries. Justine, every Halloween, raises money for Canadian Mental Health. 10 years ago, she lost her mother to mental health and addiction, and she, in honor of her mother, who her and her mother loved Halloween and did many, many activities together around that time, she raises money to support people in need of counseling, addictions, support, any sort of thing like that. So we're here to promote that. You can check out 32auctions.com and the auction to look up is Annual Halloween Haunt 2022. Again, if you want to check out the auction, it's 32auctions.com, Annual Halloween Haunt 2022. She has $8,000 worth of prizes for you guys to bid on, and an annual 50-50, and all the proceeds go to Canadian Mental Health. So all the links will be in the descriptions for this podcast. I know on Instagram, people mentioned to me that they can't hit the links on Instagram. I'm going to try and fix that for this post and then going forward. So let's get to it. Let's get to the conversation with Justine. Let's hear her story and let's promote the shit out of this auction. Let's raise some fucking money for mental health. Oh, hello, Miss Justine Jeffries. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. How are things? How is your Thanksgiving? How's the turkey treating you?
I haven't had too much. I pinched a nerve in my back, so I haven't been able to do much.
Yeah, maybe you should stop spending so much time on it.
If only that was the issue.
All right, so we wanted to have you on the podcast because you're doing this cool little fundraiser called Halloween Haunt. So we're friends. We have our own podcast together where we look at inappropriate objects and critique them. But you're also like a fundraiser for, is it mental health? Like, tell us a little bit about the Halloween Haunt and how it got started.
So it all started about 10 years ago. I was going to do my first haunted house. I was very excited about it. I used to decorate for Halloween when I was a kid a lot with my mom. She loved it. We used to go nuts and build things. She would, you know, stuff that we could jump out of and scare people. And so, yeah, 10 years ago, I was building my first haunted house. And I got a knock on the door. And unfortunately, that's the year that I lost my mom. She overdosed and didn't make it that time, obviously. So I didn't do a haunted house that year. It was a bit too harsh, a little too weird. She died 10 days before Halloween. The funeral was like 5 days before Halloween. And I came home with beautiful flowers from the funeral home. And I had dead bodies hanging from my ceiling. It just didn't mesh well. So
yeah. I'm sorry to laugh, but that's,
oh no, legit. That's very odd. When the cops came and knocked on my door, it was really odd because I had just smoked a joint in the house in my apartment, and the cop comes and knocks on my door and he's like, can I come in? And I was like, no. And he's like, no, I really would like to come in. I'm like, what's this about? He's like, oh, it's about your mom. And I was like, okay, like, what jail is she in? I'll go get her out, but you're still not coming in my house. And he's like, I'd really like to come in. And I'm like, no, because the whole time I'm just thinking, mom's been arrested, or she OD'd again. I just got to go get her from the hospital or the jail. And I didn't want to let this fucking cop come in because I just smoked a joint. And then he told me what had happened and I collapsed on the front porch. And he was like, I really would have liked to come in. And I'm like, but I had just smoked a joint. And he was like, I don't care. And I'm like, okay, I didn't know that. So
it's gotta be some real news to hear when you're high as a kite.
I think it's probably better to hear it when you're high, because then you can take a moment to kind of process. The first thing I did was ask for my dad. I wanted to make sure he was okay. We're also really close, as I'm sure you know. I'm pretty sure you've met my dad. Kevin. Kevin's one of my best pals. I love him. We're really tight. And I think a lot of it stemmed from that day, from the day that my mom passed away. He was at a friend's. I couldn't get a hold of him. This was when cell phones were just pretty new. Not all of us had one. I mean, my dad had one, but he didn't have it on him at all times. So he wasn't answering his cell phone, and then having to call his friend to tell him, and then my dad dropping everything to come over. It's just yeah, a true testament of who Kevin is. He's just always been my number one and always make sure that I'm okay. But yeah, so 10 years ago, mom passed. I didn't do the haunted house. But then the next year, as a way of coping with my grief, I thought it'd be great to do the haunted house again. And I had just bought this house that I'm in now. I've been here now for, this will be my 10th year. And I've been doing it every year since. It used to be in my house. You would walk through my front door, through my living room, out the back kitchen, and then out the back, and then through the driveway. But A, I have stairs, so that's like a liability waiting to happen. And B, I adopted Grizz, and Grizz chews things. So I started having to do it outside.
Including faces, if you can get to them.
No, that's Annie.
All right, Annie.
Yeah, Grizz does not chew faces. He's very gentle. Just likes to chew my decorations that cost me a lot of money. That's all. But no, so now it's outside. But about, I think it was the first year after she passed, I did add a fundraising aspect. I did like a 50-50, which they're not legal, but you know, unless you get a charitable license or sorry, lottery license. But it was just a small one. I think I raised a couple $100 and we gave, I think it went to, at the time it was Children's Aid. I worked for a company that would match 100% any of your donations that you made to Children's Aid. So I donated it to Children's Aid. They matched it. So it became a nice donation. The year after that, I did the Humane Society. The year after that was something else. I think Big Brothers, Big Sisters. The year after that was something. And then the fourth year was the first year I did Canadian Mental Health. It was at that time I was really dealing with a lot of things on my own. I was divorced. My dog had died. Obviously, my mom had died before. I hadn't really dealt with any of it. And I was going through a lot of my own mental health issues and such. And yeah, I decided that was the time to start raising the money for mental health. And, you know, maybe my mom wouldn't have ended up down the path she did if she had more mental health support. She was homeless from time to time. And so there's not really support for our homeless community that needs to see, like, any of my friends that I talk to that go to see a therapist. It is difficult if you don't have money, and therapy is expensive. Like I pay $120 an hour and I get a little bit covered from work, but you know, for how messed up I am, I need a lot more coverage. And that's what finally made me think, like, no, we just need to keep putting this money into mental health. And here we are 9 years after I started fundraising, and we're on the fourth year with Canadian Mental Health and looking to raise $5,000 this year.
How much does this like help you with your problems with your dealing with your mom's death and all this shit that happened to you? Like being this kind of fundraiser for an advocate for mental health, does it help you deal with your own issues a little bit? Or?
Oh, 100%. I think the reason why I do this is because it helps with the grief. I don't go through a period. My mom's birthday always comes, or not birthday, sorry, her death day always comes while I'm in the process of doing all this decorating and getting it going. And as the years have gone by, there have been less tears and a lot more happiness remembering things that I did with her and looking around and thinking like, wow, she would be blown away with how amazing this looks.
And so like it's a haunted house, but it's also fundraisers. So like what's the perfect haunted house in your opinion? Like, how do you do it? I mean, I think everyone's seen like a haunted house, like some of those lame ones that people go into and they're like, ah, well, they scared me. Or it's like someone gets punched out because they're too scared. It's always a fear. So how do you make it like a functional house that everyone can enjoy?
Well, the key thing is I make sure my scares are without, like they're outside of punching distance. They are always safe behind something so nobody can get knocked out. And I think with money, it would make it a lot more perfect. If I could make this indoors so it wasn't outside and my dog, you know, wouldn't destroy it, then I wouldn't have the elements that destroy my stuff every year. I mean, we get snow in October in Canada all the time. And over time, my stuff falls apart and it rots and I have to create new things. And so a great budget would be ideal. I have zero budget.
You just need to have like a big circus tent over your house during
that would be ideal. That would be so ideal. I would love it.
And then that would go in the theme. It could be a horror circus theme. Carnival. Like, oh my God.
Carnival.
I think circuses are very scary.
A lot of people do. The one year that I did Carnival on the front lawn and I had clowns everywhere, there were multiple cars of people that wouldn't even get out of their vehicle.
Nope. I would too. I mean, like, you've seen those clips where, like, there's like two guys or a group of people like running or walking and they see a clown, like a
yes, a and then they can run the other way.
Yeah, and I'm thinking, like, I mean, I'm pretty sure I could take a clown. I mean, it depends on what they have in their hands, obviously. But I mean, if it's just like a clown running at me, I'm like, I'm going to stand my ground, I hope.
Well, if a clown's running at you and they're wearing clown shoes, at the very least, stand on their feet, because those things are like flip-flops. Like, those are like scuba slippers to walk in. They're a bitch.
Yeah, just
so run. They're not running. No. And if they are, they're a serial killer and you better fucking run, because that motherfucker is experienced in those shoes.
Yeah, if he's going full sprint, he's on. It's like, hey, Jim, you go to the gym and like, he's like, hey, why are you on the treadmill with those shoes? Oh, this is helps for my my back pain. Or like, no, that guy's training to kill people.
100%.
Immediately.
When I ran an apartment building downtown London, which I also used to decorate, any of my tenants will remember I went nuts and did a whole thing in the lobby. But there was one of my tenants was a clown. By profession. I was like, really? You can just be a professional clown? I thought that was a joke, but okay.
Yeah.
He was also the creepiest of all of the tenants that I had. Guy was a hoarder. He had to walk in sideways through his apartment, and he used to answer the door naked a lot.
Okay, send in the clown. Jesus Christ.
Better than the clown costume, I guess, if you're afraid of clowns, but I would prefer the clown costume.
Over being a naked. Yeah, no, that's...
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. So you had the haunted house going on, and like, so like, how has it been for you to see it grow? Because I mean, obviously it started, your mom dies and it's a very traumatized thing, and then, you know, you take a year, and then it slowly grows and grows and grows. So like, has every year just been like something new, or have there ever been years where you've kind of taken it easy, or it's like every year has got to be like, it's got to be one-upsmanship?
Definitely. Normally every year I want to one-up it. The year of COVID, the first year of COVID, that was the first year that, I mean, I kind of one-upped it, but not really, because I didn't do a full haunt. I didn't know what was going to happen. It takes me months to build the haunt in the backyard, the full walkthrough maze. So I didn't want to put that effort in and then the government say we can't do trick-or-treating. And it was just, I built this big thing that took me months for no reason. So I only decorated the front lawn, and that was really disappointing. But I did one up it that year, because that was the first year that I raised all the money. Like, I hit $4,000 in fundraising that year because I just went nuts. And previous to that, I think the most I had raised was like $980 or something. We might have hit $1,000 the one year, but like that. Yeah, 2 years ago, I hit $4,000. Last year, we hit $4,000. And this year, my goal is $5,000. But I have a good feeling we're gonna beat that too. So, that's about it. Every year I do go nuts though, and it's never the same, because that's one thing you can never do. I don't put the same actors in the same spots. I don't put the animatronics in the same spots. It's a different visual walkthrough every year. I go above and beyond to make sure that it's not the same. And the kids always notice that. They're like, oh, you did it different this time, or this is here, or remember when that was there? And I'm like, yep. And I knew you'd remember that, so I changed it, because I like it when people scream and pee.
And so, like, and you seem to be, like, I knew a little bit about last year, because we just kind of started hanging out last year. But this year, it's, like, it seems like it's gotten bigger. Like, you are promoting the hell out of it, mm-hmm. In terms of posterization, prizes for your auction, that sort of thing. So, like, what was the decision to kind of just, like, up it this year? Like, is it just the 10 years, like, you want to blow it out of the park sort of thing?
It is 10 years since mom passed, but 10 years for fundraising will be next year, and it's already in the works, which is great, because it's going to be even bigger and better than this year was, or will be, because this year's not done. But no, this year it's a big change of a lot of things. I'm no longer with my ex, who was a big downer and shit on me a lot around Halloween and said that I was taking away from him, you know, and it just, I don't know, he was. For the last 5 years that I was with him, it was really horrible, and I wasn't allowed to feel good about it.
How am I supposed to do cocaine with all these kids around, Justine?
Exactly. I know. So it was hard for him. The fact that I was trying to do good things. It's not nice. So took away from the time I would concentrate on him or something. So that's, you know, since I was dating a child, he apparently needed a lot of constant attention. But this year I'm dating somebody that resembles a child, but is not, and enjoys it, loves it, goes nuts. You know, I got to stop and be like, you know, you haven't eaten yet today. Could you possibly take a break from building Halloween stuff and eat? And he's like, nope, I'm going to just keep going. And I'm like, okay, I'll come find you once you pass out and mush some food down your throat. We'll figure it out. But yeah, it's
good cardio though, to keep good cardiovascular to keep going and everything.
Well, especially with my back being out the last week. So he's got so much energy. I haven't been able to help him out.
Yeah, in more ways than one.
Exactly.
But like, let's talk about it a little bit, because like it is kind of a game changer when you go through like a shitty situation from one ex to another. Like I was just talking to my my friend Nina, or Yanina from Australia, and she left in a very abusive relationship, and we talked about that on the podcast, and that'll be out momentarily. But like, it is a game changer when you finally find someone that is like, you know, supportive and also equally creative. I mean, I know your partner, Tyler, he's a great dude. He's going to be on podcast later because he's a comedian and a director and everything. But like, it's like, you were so hesitant to have that in your life, and then it kind of just happened. So like, how has that kind of like changed your, I guess, life and overall view of things?
It's amazing. I didn't know that you could have somebody that's so supportive, so outgoing, and so there for you. Like, he wants to build stuff with me. If I have to go because I have to go pick up a prize, or I, you know, every time I get an email about another prize coming in, I send it to him and I'm like, look what else we got. And he's so excited. Like, it's such a game changer to have somebody support you truly. I didn't know somebody could ever be this supportive. I mean, I think he always says, like, just please maintain like really low expectations of me. And I do. I try to like keep them real low, but he's setting the own bar. He's doing this all on his own. So he has no idea how much effort I'm going to expect him to put in next year now that he's done.
Has he helped with the creative process at all in terms of like designing?
Oh my gosh. Are you kidding me? Yeah. So the first few times he was a little hesitant. He was afraid he was going to step on my toes, you know, or steal my creative thunder. And I had a couple other of my friends that have, like my best friend Chelsea and my buddy Will, they came over and they've helped me decorate for years. So they know. And they just started taking stuff and putting it up. And he was like, are you sure she wants that there? And Chelsea's like, no, but if she doesn't, she'll move it around. But at least what we're doing is just getting it out, putting it up. She can change her mind after, but she needs to visualize it all and see it all. And if you get ideas and you create things, she gets excited about it too. And he was like, what? I can just do what I want? And then his own mind just blew and he just started going nuts and he was having so much fun. It's like, we're like children out there, just like little, like running around, giggling, having so much fun. And then every once in a while, stopping to look at the numbers and like, wow, you know, we just sold another 250-50 tickets, or I got another prize that came in. Like, I just got a big prize that I haven't even posted yet. I got 4 tickets to the December 9th London Knights game at the restaurant, which is it's like the best seats in the house. And it comes with dinner.
Oh,
it's
wow.
Like a $250 prize. It's amazing. Yeah. So all this stuff, like, we just stop and it's just, I'm in my fucking glory, Mitch. This has never been such a good year. I am on cloud 9, other than my fucking back. If anybody knows how to fix a pinched nerve, I could take that, but.
Try some acupuncture. Acupuncturists can take the muscle off the nerve.
Oh God. Okay. I'll try that. I'll make an appointment because it's killing me. I'm on over a week now and I haven't been able to do anything.
No, if you go to an acupuncturist, and you tell them you have a pinched nerve, they can like work around the pinched nerve and like make the muscles move off the nerve. I think there's a way they can do it that way.
All right. I texted my massage therapist and she was like, there's nothing I can do. You don't want to see me. You want to see like an osteopath or something. And I was like, who the fuck is that?
What else? Yeah. So maybe I think there's a acupuncture place called Blossoms that my chiropractor recommends in London. So check that out, I'd say.
Okay.
Yeah. Now that you're not like busy. That's the thing about you though. It's like, I've known you for almost over a year now. And like, you are just go, 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 go. Sometimes it worries me because like, oh, she's never going to slow down. So like, when you were done the Halloween haunt, when you're done all of this stuff, do you take the time to slow down and kind of relax and unwind a bit? Like, when was the last time you actually went on vacation?
Last summer I went up to a cottage for a week.
I don't count the cottage as vacation because then you gotta do stuff as a cottage. You gotta drive there. I mean, like, what's the last time you went on an actual vacation? Like, went to like get to a beach and did some Mai Tais and just chilled in the sun.
For my birthday, about 4 years ago, I think, I went to Dominican, but it was brutal because I went with my ex and it was over my birthday and he was kind of a cunt, so it didn't work out. But
yeah, see, maybe you're maybe you should take a vacation after this Halloween haunt after it's all done and everything.
Yeah, no, I have two dogs and the one's aggressive. I don't really get the opportunity to go anywhere. Till Annie dies, I'm stuck here.
You can always find someone to just feed their bowls while they're downstairs or something like that, and chill out.
Yeah, I don't know.
Anyways,
I
like where there's a will, there's a way. But so, like, the Halloween haunt's going. Is this the first year you're doing? When did you start doing? Like, you did 50-50 to raise money, but then you started incorporating prizes. So, like, when did that idea get sparked in your head to start doing prizes? And like, what's the community input been this year? Because it seems like you're getting a whole shit ton of great prizes.
So I've kind of always done, it wasn't always a silent auction. I used to just sell tickets to, it wasn't a 50-50. I had all these prizes because I win a lot of things. I've been, any radio person that I'm friends with on Facebook or Instagram knows me because I win like crazy. It was,
I joked with Kyle. I was like, her mom might be dead, but she wins a lot of prizes. So,
it works out. It honestly does. I mean, no. And I think because I've always tried to keep really, my thing is like, I try to keep good karma. I win these prizes, but then I use these prizes to raise money for charity at Halloween time. And the spark that really got me getting the community involved was 2 years ago or so. I think it was with COVID. Prizes on the radio became a lot more difficult to acquire. And then Halloween was coming and I didn't have very much. And I was like, oh no, how am I going to raise any money if I don't have any prizes? So 2 years ago, I started asking the public for help. Just putting it on my Facebook and on, like, you know, local mom to mom groups on Facebook and that kind of stuff, asking people that sell Scentsy and that kind of shit to give me or stuff, good stuff. Sorry, it's not shit, whatever. But asking them to give me donations, and they did. And I was shocked. I was like, oh, these people are just going to give me, this random person that does this fundraiser, they're going to give me donations. Like, that's insane. Cool. And then last year, I reached out to a few businesses that year as well, like Forked River, Anderson's Craft Ales, London Brewing, you know, places I went that I was familiar with the people, that I felt like they were like part of my community and that was part of my home. I asked them and shockingly, they all said yes. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. And then last year I asked them, and I reached out to a few other ones last year here and there, not much, but a few. And I got a few more. And then this year I just thought, why stop there? Like, why not just ask everybody? Because the worst thing they're going to do is not respond or say no. Best thing, I have one more thing, another $50, $25, $10, whatever that goes into our donations. Like, that's just amazing. I can't get over how many donations we've had coming in this year, but I don't know. It was just worth it this year to try and ask. And next year I'm going to go even bigger because they said yes this year. So now they're stuck with me forever.
A vacation to Florida, Disney World. Yeah.
If you can get, so it's not Disney World, but if you can get, I think it's a hotel or a golf course to sign up and give something for your silent auction, WestJet will give you travel for two people to anywhere that they fly. I've looked into it, because I do a fundraiser for another organization here in London later in the year. They found out about my Halloween fundraiser and got me to go be a part of that. And that's how I found out about the WestJet thing. I don't personally have a hotel or a golf course that's stepped up yet, so I can't do that package. But once I do, I'll be having a WestJet package on my silent auction soon enough.
I mean, there's tons of golf courses around London, but yeah, who knows?
I know, I emailed all of them.
Even the one we went to earlier this year?
Was that East Park?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I emailed East Park. Yeah. Bastards. Crumlin, Dorchester, all of them. I mean, I'm a one person, and I'm shocked at half the people that have opened the email. And I literally put in the title, like, annual Halloween haunt dash donation request, so that they know what it is.
I think next year we gotta find you an intern assistant from like one of the colleges to like help you with your fundraising. Maybe that would be like a, because they'll need the work experience in terms of like fundraising. So, hey, I need an intern assistant.
If they need like volunteer hours, by all means, they could come and help me out, because I've sent out.
Or no, just an intern, like someone that needs the co-op or something like that. That'd be cool.
If they expect to be paid, though, I don't have any money.
No, of course not. They're not.
Okay.
I did like three internships when I was in college, and none of them were paid, unfortunately.
Oh my God.
Fucking those were the days back in the day. So you have all these prizes now. You have the 50-50 going. You have the haunted house going. When you got involved with the Canadian Mental Health Association, like, what are their reactions where you're like, hey, here's a lot of money? Like, did you talk to them prior to you, or did you just show up with money and they're like, oh my God, thank you so much?
No, I work hand in hand with the Canadian Mental Health Association. They build me a website every year so that people can go and click on the link and directly donate to them, get a tax deductible receipt. That I wait for that to go live every year before I actually start my fundraising, because I want to make sure that people do see that, like, I am legit. The money is going to Canadian Mental Health. I'm not just taking your money and running away with it. I like people to see the progress as we go. And so, yeah, I work with them. They're really excited about it. I've gone through a couple of different people over the years with my fundraising. Wendy was my contact last year and was slightly this year. I have other people as the years change. It's changing with it. Canadian Mental Health has also changed in the years. They just took on last year. They've now amalgamated with Addiction Services. So now it's Canadian Mental Health and Addiction Services, which is even better, because the two of them really should have been aligned before. You don't really end up, well, you, I'm sure possibly could, but most addiction issues stem from a mental health problem. So
I think most people know that nowadays. And that's why, like, it's like,
and that's why it's so good that they finally amalgamated the two. So you can take the funds that we raise from this and it goes to wherever is highest needed right here in our community. Like, I work with the Canadian Mental Health Association, Middlesex, London area. Like, we are putting the money back here where they need it the most, and they need it. They need that money to help, because there's so many problems. And
when you talk to them, like, what seems to be the most common issue with what's going on in our community in terms of like homelessness or mental health?
We don't have the doctors available to talk to these people to help them consistently, because unfortunately with our homeless community, obviously they don't have the money, the funds. Like I had said earlier, it's $120 for me. And that's pretty cheap. I mean, I know people that have paid $200 an hour to go see a therapist. And these people that are on our streets, they need to talk to somebody. They need help. They need guidance. They need not just that one person that's going to talk to them about their mental health, but they also need other people that are going to help guide them to get on their feet, to get back into society, to get off the drugs, to get through it all. And we don't have that access. Right now, we barely have enough fucking doctors and nurses in our actual hospitals, let alone enough people to take care. But when you were, when they would send out a cop because somebody's shooting up in a building, they're sending a cop who's just being like harsh, mean, whatever. They're doing what they have to do. Don't get me wrong. I get it. They're cops. But if you were to send a cop along with a social worker, somebody that can talk to them like a human being who also understands.
I think they do that in Sarnia right now.
And that's what they need to be doing, because these people are struggling, and maybe if you talk to them like they're a human being rather than, yeah, I get it, they're doing drugs, but like there are millionaires that are doing drugs and you don't talk to them like they're pieces of shit. So why do you, like, just because this person's homeless and like, yeah, okay, they're causing a problem, but can't you see beyond what's going on that there's a deeper problem rooted within that needs to be addressed, rather than just putting them in jail and then letting them back out 24 hours later and expecting them to fucking fix it?
And you know, it's like, when you see like these things happening and like you see them in our community, a lot of people are negative towards this concept of like, you know, helping people. But like my mentality is like, if you help people, if you create like places where they can go and shoot up properly or get guidance, one, it creates more nursing jobs that doesn't overflood the current nursing problem that we have in our hospitals. It creates jobs for security workers. It creates administrative jobs. It's like, if you put the money towards helping people, it's going to create jobs, and then they're going to become productive members of society, and they're going to create more jobs and more economy and help everyone. It's like, then everyone's like helping each other. It's like, it seems like it's such an easy concept to wrap your head around, like just helping one another, but for some reason we don't do it, and it's a real goddamn shame.
Well, because when everybody's helping each other, the people at the top aren't making money.
So. Yeah. People
like you and I can get together and do what I do, like, you know, raise $5,000 and try to help out. But there are not enough people like us. There are people out there like my ex who would be like, well, can't we keep some of that money? You put that effort into it. Like, why wouldn't we just, like, there are people out there that are always, they look good and they seem like they have good intentions, and then they're really just shitty people. And unfortunately, they're disguised in plain clothes like you and I. So they're ruining it for the rest of us that just want to help the world.
Oh man, such a bummer. But on a brighter note, you're still doing the damn thing. You're helping people. So when does the auction go live? When do you guys start fundraising? When does that all go live?
So I'm selling 50-50 tickets now. That's live. That's whenever. My event.
Where can people purchase those?
That's through me directly. Keely, my best pal, she has some. Tyler has some. Forked River has some. But that's just through email, annualhalloweenhaunt@gmail.com. $10 each, 3 for $25. Proceeds to Canadian Mental Health. Last year, the winner walked home with $1,250. So this year, I'm hoping the winner will walk home with more than that. And then the raffle itself, the silent auction, rather, not the raffle. The silent auction goes live October 24th, and it closes on October 31st at 10 p.m.
Oh, and so it's a short one, eh?
It's a one-week thing. Yep. There are over 60 items currently. I have over $6,500 worth of items. And this year I paid to host it on a website so that it's, you don't have to have Facebook in order to do it. Last year you had to have Facebook in order to get onto the auction and bid. So this year I'm hosting it on 32 auctions. It'll be live for a week, and then yeah, you e-transfer, give me cash when you pick up your item, and we go from there. Hopefully we can raise I'm hoping at least $3,000 out of the $6,000 that we have in items. If you get about half, that's decent, and then another, hopefully we'll get up to like $4,000 with the auction, with the 50-50, so that the winner can get $2,000 and the other two can go right to Canadian Mental Health. And we've already got $500 raised in just donations. So,
and so the goal, is to smash the previous budget of, what was it? $5,000.
The goal last year was $4,000. This year it's $5,000.
Okay. So. Is there like a super duper number that you think that you could grow this thing to? Like, what's the next level, do you think?
Next year, I'm doing a large ticketed event in association with Canadian Mental Health and Forked River, and there will be music and vendors and games and prizes. And yeah, next year is going to be, the goal is $10,000 next year.
$10,000 next year.
Yeah.
Holy shit. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And then we'll have to get you a big tent for the circus theme to Halloween on next, so everything doesn't get wrecked by the weather.
100%. I'll just have like a weird bubble around my house. Neighbors would love it.
Oh yeah, I mean, who doesn't
want to have a resale value, buddy?
Who doesn't want to have a neighbor with a big bubble around?
I mean, my roof would never go bad if I had a bubble around it all the time, though. Like, that really is gonna up this resale value.
Oh man, so like in terms of like the Halloween Haunt, are you doing anything to promote it in terms of how people can get there, or are you doing like a virtual version of it by any chance or anything?
Actually, this year we are going to have a video. Thankfully, I'm teamed up with Silver Drop Productions.
I wonder who
Silver Drop Media, I guess. There you go. Yeah.
You know, their name rings a bell, but I can't forget who.
Yeah, they're these lovely humans, Brandon and Tyler. that
are they like comedians or something? They're like weirdos that have their own
podcast. Think they're funny, but Brandon's pretty funny. but no, they're they've got all the equipment. They're gonna do like a full walkthrough video with like a drone and everything, so you can see it from above, you can see it while going through it, you can see it with actors, you can see it without the actors. Getting dry ice this year to make the ambiance look nice, and yeah, so we're gonna have it's gonna look good. But then I'm also, you know, posters are going up all over the East End of London. I posted on Kijiji, I posted on Facebook, I posted everywhere. It's 26 of Pony Crescent, the whole weekend before Halloween and Halloween night, and we have actors. There's a good time. 5 to 6:30 is good for the kids. No actors, it's not as scary, the light's still out. 6:30 to 9 though, there's actors, and so if you have like a pacemaker, maybe don't do it. If you're pregnant, you might give birth, I don't know. But every year we make an adult pee, and we're really looking forward to doing that again.
Then the baby comes out, then next year's like, this is where the baby was born. It's like,
exactly, just give me ideas for the next year, keep it going.
I'm an idea guy too. I mean,
I've done that one.
But I remember specifically like the scariest I've ever been in terms of like an amusement park that was like a Disney World ride, where like they had this thing where like this alien escapes a pod and starts killing all the yeah. scientists in the science lab, and like I'm like in a portion of the area that is a solo seat all by myself. My mom and dad are like 15 feet away from me, I'm by myself, okay. And I hear this gnawing or like a scratcher breath on the back of my neck from this effect, and I'm just like, ah! I never scream. I had good cardio then, so the screaming was like consistently throughout the entire show, and I was like, I'd never ever want to be that scared again. But like, so like in terms of what's Halloween? It's Halloween Haunt. We got the haunted house going. What's the most scared you have ever been? Outside of like that whole thing with your mother, but like in terms of like an actual scare,
maybe. So when I was a kid, my stepfather, we lived out in Sparta. He had a Freddy Krueger outfit, and we also had a bunch of posters and all this stuff out in the garage. And I was out in the garage, or out in the the garage shed thing. And I come back out, go towards the house, and my mom popped out of this bush wearing the Freddy Krueger outfit, and I nearly pissed my pants, and I screamed and ran down the other way. And I'll never forget that day. It was the day, and like, she laughed, she just cackled and made her day, but I nearly pissed my pants that day.
That reminds me, there was another time where like, so my parents were friends with the people that had this like resort cottage sort of thing called Ronville Lodge. And so the parents are off in one section of the place having their drinks, and we're watching Poltergeist. For all of all the reasons to watch a scary movie in a cottage environment, we watched Poltergeist. And there had been one guest that had yet to arrive, and like just as like the shit's hitting the fan, this guy like bursts through the fucking side door. It's like, hey everyone, it's like, ah! We sprint out down the hallway, but their parents like, oh, it's like, it was just like, ah. Just pitch perfect, like precise moment where like, yeah, I think it's this the bath or the pool scene, and it's like, oh my god. Just, and then they had like little cottages scattered throughout the property where like we were staying, so in the middle of the night after this we had to walk to our cottage, me and my brother, by ourselves.
Oh, like looking behind you the whole time, like
just every time there's like a little crick or something, you're like, oh my god, what the hell. Anyways, Justine, thank you so much for being on the podcast. I love you, and I'm so glad that you're in my life and you're doing so many great and awesome
things.
Love
you, man.
Give us quickly one more time. How can people donate? How can people become 50-50 winners?
Check out, email me at annualhalloweenhaunt@gmail.com. And I can give you all the information there. Tickets are $10 each, 3 for $25. And I've got a website, or check out 32 Auctions, Annual Halloween Haunt. And that's where all the silent auction stuff is.
All right, perfect. That wraps up another episode of Hello, How Are You Today? And we'll see you guys down the road. Bye, Justine.
Cheers.
All right, I hope you guys enjoyed the conversation with Justine. Again, it's 32auctions.com/annualhalloweenhaunt2022.
The links will be in all the descriptions for this podcast. I will also include it on the post on the Instagram. I'll try and get that working, as I've been told that the posts I put on Instagram, the links don't work. So we're going to try and get that fixed going forward, and no better way to start than this one. So please, go to the auction. Bid on all the prizes. There's $8,000 worth of prizes on there. It's amazing, some of the options that you can bid on. I myself am going to be bidding on a few of these packages, and all the money goes to someone, Canadian Mental Health. And mental health has been the thing that has become more and more prominent, thank God, because I think a lot of people suffered in silence for years, afraid to, you know, speak out or, you know, live that truth. And now we're at a place in our society where it's become norm. Everyone needs to take care of themselves mentally and physically. And this is a good way to help support that. So 32auctions.com, annual Halloween haunt 2022. Reach out to her on her Instagram, Fabulous Kangaroo, as well, to send her a private message if you want to show some support, if you can't donate or anything. But it's a very cool thing that she's doing, and I'm very proud of her. I'm very happy for her, and I hope you guys will come support. That's it for this week. I hope you guys had a great time with the podcast. Thank you again for listening. I'm Mitch Corbett. Thank you for listening again. I keep on rambling, but I really truly do support. I really truly do appreciate it. So until next time, I'll see you guys down the road. Cheers.